Hey y'all, we are Back to the Basket, a weekly podcast where we discuss and dissect the best league in the universe, it's the NBA. I'm your host, Wahaj, and with me today, just like every week, are Kevin.
Hello, world.
And Richard.
Hi, hi.
So, how's Easter treating y'all?
Been pretty great. I mean, lots of primetime basketball.
And lots of chocolate.
Speaking of chocolate, are you ready for an Easter egg hunt?
Yes.
Not the real one.
No.
But a pretty close one that you will enjoy.
Okay.
We're going to go on a little journey here to find these Easter eggs in the NBA.
You know who was on a journey? Fred VanVleet this year.
Absolutely.
Yes.
To get that bench.
Absolutely.
Right up there. Yeah. I think it's the best bench in the league, right?
Yeah.
If numbers back me up.
Yes, it does.
I don't need to say anymore. I feel like Raptors fans know what's up.
Oh, yeah. We know. Deep in our hearts.
Deep in our heart. I mean, and he hit a game winner on national TV. People recognize. People mention his name. People drop his name.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty impressive feat for a guy who was undrafted.
Yeah.
Let's put that up.
Fred VanVleet.
That's my first egg.
Okay.
It's a little one.
Okay.
Delicious.
Yeah.
It's a juicy.
I'm not calling Fred VanVleet delicious.
I'll say the Clippers. The Clippers from day one the Clippers have been, since preseason, Clippers have been interesting to me. Injuries sort of slightly derailed that, but like honestly, watching the way Teodosic passes, like it's really nice to see that European game come over and translate well. Obviously he's way too old to sort of cut it in some of the more like athletic superpowered parts of our league, but the way he passes, it's just like, oh man. And I think they also have since the trade I think Boban and Tobias have really worked well for them. I was saying earlier, like, it's nice to go from a team that's a little bit, you know, it's got that star power in Blake, but to shift away from that to just guys who are just there to play, I think that's working well for Doc.
No, for sure. I mean, the fact that they face so much adversity throughout the season, what they've had to go through with just transitional changes with you know, the trades that happened midway, it's, Doc has had a hard hand forced on him, and I think he's done pretty well,
yeah,
given the circumstance.
Are you finally on the Doc Rivers train?
No, I'm not. But I think splitting the roles between Jerry West and Doc has been good for the team. I'm a fan of the Clippers organization, and I think, I don't know, I'm interested in to see where it goes from here.
I think Jerry West had nothing to do with the Blake Griffin move.
Really?
I read that somewhere. I don't have deep sources, but I've read it in multiple places where Jerry West was not available to comment on any of this.
Hmm.
And Jerry West has always been known to be open with media about these things. Like, he's okay with interviews and all that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't have concrete information. But as far as I know, this wasn't one of his deals.
Yeah.
I again, people can go either way and say Clippers are better without Blake. I don't know which camp you lie in.
I think it's a smart move considering the amount of money Blake has committed to him for the next 2-3 years. $40 million in 3 years from now. We're already seeing a decline in his athleticism, his you know, production. But 3 years from now, he's going to be getting paid more than what he's getting paid now. And
you guys say it all the time, right? Like, basketball is a team sport. I think the team just shifting to more towards a team where they're, that has a little bit more depth and doesn't get derailed.
There's no true leader on that team, other than, I guess, if you want to mention Luke.
Doc Rivers.
Yeah, like where Doc is the leader of the team.
Right.
Like, that's where I'm in on Doc. Like, I think he brings leadership and he brings focus to that team. And now that he's not griping with, you know, Chris Paul and Blake and fighting, it'll be fine.
I mean, just the fact that those two guys aren't there, it makes Clippers games watchable. Just the fact that there's much less complaining to the refs when you take away a CP and Blake.
I enjoy watching the Clippers as much as I have, which is not a lot. But what I've seen is that, you know, they play under the coach.
Yeah.
And he kind of lost his voice with Blake and Chris. I felt like he wasn't that much in control anymore with the way players were with each other. Apparently they didn't have a good relationship, and that's hard to mend for a coach. You all have to do it amongst yourselves. Like,
you know, have a team meeting or whatever. Like, apparently everyone's having team meetings.
Yeah.
But, you know, those plane rides, they count for something. Mm-hmm. But they didn't see eye to eye. They never have.
Yeah.
And that's what's been coming out lately. I mean, Chris Paul infamously came out with the whole documentary about sitting with Jay-Z and wanting to leave. And it was already a done deal. So I thought that was a little strange for Chris Paul to just openly admit all this. Even though Doc Rivers apparently was texting him all the lineups at the same time.
Yeah, I've heard this.
So, I mean, I hear all these things and I'm like, this locker room was always fragile from the beginning.
Yeah.
They never saw eye to eye. And I'm surprised they stuck it out for that long. I'm surprised that they re-signed. Any one of them could have easily left instead of being traded. I mean, Chris Paul was technically traded even though he wanted out.
Sign and trade, right?
No, I think, and this might be the end of the discussion on this. I think they all signed kind of like trying to tell themselves that it wasn't over for Lob City, but I think they all kind of knew, because even DeAndre famously knew first, right?
Like, he's the one who kind of wanted out.
Well,
yeah,
Dallas would have helped.
I heard Mark Cuban was beside himself.
Allegedly,
Mark Cuban is always pissed off.
Okay, what's next?
So, Easter egg hunts.
Easter eggs. I got one for you guys. Let's talk about most improved player in the NBA. The unanimous MIP is, in my opinion, Victor Oladipo. I mean, that team got trashed when the trade happened. Yeah, why would you trade a top 10, 15 player like Paul George for Victor Oladipo?
Paul George really top 10 or 15?
He was. Consider that.
He was.
He'd be the top 5 two-way players in the NBA.
Yeah, it's the two-wayness that makes him a high-quality player.
He's the top 5 two-way player in the NBA. And, you know, they traded him away for an unproven Victor Oladipo. And look at him now. I mean, he's leading the Pacers to, you know, maybe a 4 seed in the East. And, 24 points per game. He's leading the NBA in steals, which is, you know, nobody would have thought this coming in. And I think he gets the nods for first team all defense, to be honest. Victor Oladipo is probably one of the best shot blocking guards in the NBA. If we're talking about Easter eggs, you know, things that nobody would have predicted, that's my story right there. That's Victor Oladipo.
That whole Pacers team really has kind of like figured it out, I think.
I'm not mad at that Easter egg. Like, if I find it, I'll be excited.
Yeah, like, Sabonis has a... I've always been high on Sabonis, but, like, I when the trade happened, I thought the Pacers got fleeced a little bit because Oladipo was having a down year. But now that you watch both of them, Oladipo has grown, and Sabonis, when you watch him, he has feel around the basket. Like,
absolutely. I mean, he's a beast around there. He's.
I think really he can good. Also shoot.
Yeah, it's also that he can shoot, but he operates... they've taken that chemistry that they developed in secret away from Westbrook.
You know, he's got the gene, so I mean, he's bound to be something. A scrappy NBA rotation player, deep in the bench, he's got the potential to be a contributor anywhere he goes.
Yeah, for sure.
Good situation for him too, developing wise. It's a developing team. Miles Turner is going to develop, so. The Pacers have a lot of upsides for them to be a surprise. I mean, they've overachieved in every manner.
Yeah.
But it's definitely been a really good surprise.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So when it comes to surprises, the All-NBA team picks are always going to be a surprise to everybody because it's such a tough race this year.
Yeah.
So do you guys have somebody like a – not a hot take guy, but like – somebody you're fighting for to get in that first NBA all team spot.
Are we going to include all defense?
Sure, throw your guy.
I mean, if we're going to do the NBA all NBA team discussion, I mean, first team all NBA, I'd like to give one of the guard spots to DeMar Darnell DeRozan of the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, I'd second that, but I'm so biased, like, it's silly.
Yeah, so I mean, I feel like I always have to play devil's advocate every show. So I guess I'll do that again. DeMar will get it, just not this year. Hey, DeMar has to develop that three-pointer a little bit more.
Oh, my God. What is, he's shooting...
What's the guy got to do?
Hey, you know what? He's I'm only playing devil's advocate because y'all forced me to this
corner. No, it's okay. Yeah, I get it and I appreciate it. But yeah, he's this, to me, it speaks to winning. Like,
he's a winner.
Yeah, like you have to reward the development of him as a person, as a player, not as a person. His willingness to embrace that role, where the team is important. Also, they're first in the East. They're
number two in the NBA.
Yeah,
at this point, April Fool's Day, but there's no April Fool's joke. The Raptors are number two.
Yeah,
can I make a case for this? I'm just gonna put this out there.
Okay.
I feel like the Raptors have a better supporting cast around them than the Blazers do. So my pick's gonna be Damian Lillard for that matter. And I know CJ is a good guard.
Yeah.
They have certain pieces like the Chief. Nurkic has been better than people expected. Yeah,
becoming real. I was off him.
But I'm not on that train yet.
Yeah.
I feel like the Raptors have a better system. They have everything going for them at the same time. This is the best year the organization has had as a whole. Not DeMar, just as an organization. So I'm going to pay more homage to the Raptors instead of DeRozan.
But Harden has, like, Chris Paul. And
yeah, but Harden's numbers are just off the roof. You cannot not give it to him. Okay. Like, his efficiency.
Yeah, I see that.
DeMar's numbers have been down this year from last year.
That's true.
So just based on that, I know team success matters in these things. And I will reiterate, I'm only playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm going in the other scenario and saying Lillard. Because Lillard never gets any love from anybody. And I feel like he's lonely and he cries and he raps about it that, you know, songs are not released yet. And they will come out sometime.
No, they're cooking. They're cooking.
They're cooking. So.
And Dame's also cooking. He's been putting up numbers, right?
So as much as I sometimes despise his style of play, because it's a lot of like just 24-foot, you know,
deep threes.
Like whenever he's most angry.
And I feel like, you know, if those are dropping, everything's great and dandy. When they're not...
The last 2 years in the NBA, when you say deep three, I mean, the first picture in your face, the first picture in your mind is Steph Curry. But, I mean, this year, when you're talking about deep threes, I think immediately of Dame Lillard.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm not ready to give Curry up. Curry's the king of those. I haven't seen anybody hit the, you know, those shots like Curry, so...
Yeah.
Lillard's on a hot streak, and I think it might be a little bit more than that because, you know, he's
been streaking for a couple months. It's
quote unquote,
right?
He wants it more. If that's what people say.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I don't even know what that means. It's no. Such a ridiculous statement.
Fake hustle is real in the NBA.
He's a real hustler.
No,
he's a real hustler.
He's real, but there's a lot of dudes who are like, oh, yeah, I want it. And, like, you don't.
But again, in the playoffs, this is a regular season award, so I'm going to go with Lillard. But in the playoffs, it's going to be a different story. If he's not hot, that Blazers team lives and dies with him.
Right. I mean, his shooting percentage is down this year. It's not
okay.
The highest.
Speaking of living and dying by a player, I'll mention him. I don't know if he's on my list, but it does Westbrook cut it on anyone's list here?
First team?
Yeah.
His first few months, he was averaging about 36% shooting percentage, and it was bad. I mean, he was playing with a new team, trying to get you know, used to these new guys, a new system with you know, having Paul George and Melo there. But, you know, I don't use that as an excuse. His shooting, he's not as efficient as he should be to be a, you know, first team All-NBA guy. For sure, you know, Westbrook's always going to be in that conversation. He's almost averaging a triple-double again. But I just think that's not... He may be second team. He's probably second team for sure.
Such an overblown stat, like
the triple-double.
I don't know. I might be on the other end of the spectrum with this, but I've never been a big fan of the triple-double stat.
Arbitrary numbers?
Numbers matter. This is a game of numbers. In the end, I just don't believe in Westbrook being efficient enough to carry his team to a substantial playoff seeding, for that matter. Or, you know, this is a regular season award, so I'm just going to go by their standings now. This team was supposed to be a revamped and they're on pace to win exactly the same number of games they won last year. Yeah. How is that a thing with two players who definitely could have changed your franchise moving forward?
Yeah, they were supposed to be the second seed, or
they were
one.
Supposed to challenge the Spurs, and Spurs are ahead of them now.
Yeah.
I mean, the Spurs might fall off because, again, they have a tough remaining schedule.
This is the team that was supposed to beat Golden State coming in. That's the
I think
the ultimate goal.
I think we're – yeah, anyone chasing that is kind of
– So Westbrook is a borderline guy for me. I think I would have an All-NBA second team.
I think it's between Lillard and DeRozan for sure.
I'd give Westbrook over Curry at this point. Curry's missed too many games.
Yeah. Right.
Now we're going to only be a second team, which is not the goal of
no,
this.
No, we're not.
So we're going to stick to the first one, and I pick Lillard and James. Is hard not to give it to.
No, I like watching him do that. Harden do what he's doing, so he's on my list too.
He's shooting 45% on step back threes, on high volume. That's by ridiculous. The way, that's ridiculous.
Okay, I'm throwing out my first forward, Giannis. I think he should be on there.
This is a debate topic here. The forwards, I would not put Giannis on the first team.
Okay.
I would put Kevin Durant and LeBron James, the two best players in the entire basketball universe right now.
It's Uber ride.
The Uber ride. You know, the two best players in the world. And I would give them first team over Giannis for sure. Giannis, he's coming. One of these days, he'll get it.
But I think this year. So why do you think that you would pick KD over Giannis? Giannis is, you know, he was in the MVP conversation for at least 5.5 weeks.
Yeah, he is, like, as much as I like cringe at it sometimes, like Giannis is like gonna be the future of the East in some capacity,
right
like, and even well, now
what is
like
he now right. Is he an all NBA forward?
Well, right now he is his team, that like I can say that without a doubt. What was that you pulled up the win shares for him?
Like 12, man. Like that's just 11.9.
that's a ridiculous insane number. Yeah, like Who is
this is like Westbrook last year.
Yeah.
I think.
That's true. I mean, no, I mean, again, it's going to be a debate, and I'm sure, you know, you guys are definitely going to go with Giannis, but the reason I give it to KD is I think he's more complete and polished as a player.
For sure.
Giannis, as well as he excels in many of the things that he does, I think he still has things to improve on, like his shot, his three-point shot, his, you know, just decision making in general.
Yes, I can see that, the decision making.
I think Kevin Durant is, you know, he's what, 28 now. He's a smarter player. I mean, even though he's really angry nowadays at all the blog boys,
he's a boneheaded person. But as a player,
I mean, I would say he's boneheaded. He seems like a smart individual that needs motivation. Warriors have this entire
he needs validation. It seems like, right?
Sure. You know, with the burner accounts, I mean, everything points towards a guy who's insecure about something still. Well, listen, I mean, I'm not trying to be...
He's always been... No, no, for sure. He's always been number two in his life, and he wants to get to that number one.
Well, unless LeBron retires, he ain't number one.
Yeah.
And what if he wins the next three chips?
Sure, he might as well. I mean, people are predicting them to win the next three. It's still not going to put KD over LeBron. It's just not going to happen. I mean, that's where I stand.
Yeah, that's just the unfortunate nature of living in the era of LeBron, and also what he chose to do. And like, I totally understand. I will say I understand going somewhere where you don't have to be the person all the time. But in terms of people looking at you and saying, that's what makes people go, you are the greatest person of your peer group because you chose to do it on your own.
Right.
Right.
Katie has, you know, in all fairness, Katie has never had a team of his own. He's always been either Batman, Robin, or now he's on a pretty much a Goliath.
A machine. Yeah.
Let's call them the Avengers. They got so many stars on that team.
Yeah.
It's Marvel. So we are, why can't we call him Justice League, huh? Like, we just give DC some love. Everybody talks about the Avengers
because,
all the time.
I mean,
I'm sorry, I'm just
Aquaman,
I'm salty.
I love
DC
Aquaman.
Over Marvel guy.
I'm a DC guy. Sorry.
I mean, we're all for off-topic conversations here. Let's throw a real quick one in: DC or Marvel?
You know where I stand.
I love Wonder Woman. I will go on record saying that I love the comics. I love the idea of the character. I love the mythology of it. So I'm a DC person.
I love the entire Marvel universe, man.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Look, that's
MCU,
valid. I respect
MCU,
that.
I mean, just look at the money they're making.
Like, they're marketable for sure.
Absolutely.
They have a lot of superheroes.
They have the Midas touch. I mean, anytime they put something out, it's almost unquestionably probably one of the top movies out there.
But it also is based from like I think now they're going through a little bit of a, they really need to go back and take a look at what made people fall in love with those movies. But I think for me, the stuff that they did to sort of like make it that, like to make superhero movies viable commercially and even just on an artistic level, like some of the stuff they were doing was excellent. So it, like now it's in a weird Disney place for me, but I still think what they did
was commercialized in a lot of ways. And I mean, Black Panther was revolutionary in some ways, for a lot of people. And you know, in these times, we kind of need those movies.
Yeah.
On top of it, I'm just gonna come out and say that DC as a universe has just had bad luck of directors. We just haven't had
poor vision.
You know, Marvel Studios is obviously a better
Superman corporation. Just too OP in my opinion as well. You know, well, you know, having a guy like he's like,
no, but you
how
can,
do you beat him?
You can tell stories. You can tell stories about Superman in a way that is compelling, but they don't do it. You know, they try to like understand him in this like Jesus way, and you're like, no
he's not
Jesus. He's just a regular person trying to make sense of what it means to be OP. You know what I mean?
My first comic book was Superman. It was called Death of Superman, and you know, I wasn't aware of Superman at that time, so I read it and I reread it and I read it like 30 times, and I'm like, this guy in my head, the first comic I got was him dying, so he was obviously not, you know, immortal,
right?
Yeah. In my head, he was always like a mortal being that had a weakness, and he has a pretty big weakness. Like, I mean,
that's pretty obvious.
It's pretty obvious. Anybody can come across it and make sure that he dies. And the storyline that they focus on in mainstream media is always just like origin stories.
Yeah, don't.
When you read into these comics, you know, it's revealed that Superman has weaknesses, and he has like, I mean, Lois Lane is a pretty big weakness,
right?
And that's been exploited by so many enemies throughout the universe. So I mean, we can get into this whole
topic.
That's
a whole tangent right there, right?
I think I'm gonna limit myself and just call myself a DC fanboy.
Yeah.
Anyways, all right, let's get into our next topic.
Okay, so our last thing for today is last week we covered some weird stories in the NBA, and now
weirder?
Yeah, and now we're just gonna revisit two of them because there's been some updates.
All right, let's provide an update. I'll let you take the show, and let's provide the first update.
So first update. Apparently, Markel Fultz figured out his business, and he's back and playing. I don't know what he's averaging in the games he's been back, but he looks good.
Is he on a minutes restriction? Or
he put up 10 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists in 15 minutes on his first game back.
Yeah. Airballed a couple of shots, but for the most part...
That's fine. I mean, there's a little rust he's shaking off there.
Yeah.
He's not on a minutes restriction, is he?
I don't think
yes, currently at the moment, yeah. He's just not going to be played a lot yet until he's ready.
Yeah.
Or until they're ready.
Yeah. Until the world is ready.
Yeah, it's more of a two-way street.
Yeah. I don't know if they're ready to trust him completely.
I don't know if the world's really ready for starting minutes Markel Fultz.
For Chick-fil-A?
That's fun.
Yeah, man. Canada's ready, man.
Canada ready for Chick-fil-A.
There was one in Alberta, but that's beside the point.
Chick-fil-A is beautiful, by the way.
I love
but,
Chick-fil-A.
You know, going off on a tangent.
Yeah.
People stop eating Chick-fil-A for different reasons.
Yeah, so Markel Fultz is back. That's our update. And now our next update is some more Spurs intrigue.
The weird situation of Kawhi. Yeah. You know, a couple weeks ago, I hypothesized that, you know, hearing from a lot of the things going on in the NBA, that, you know, Kawhi's uncle is now his manager. He wants Kawhi in more of a spotlight type role, and which I feel he has, you know, a huge spotlight in San Antonio. But I think, you know, deep down, I've been having a feeling here that Kawhi is going to be a New York Knick at some point in his career. If, you know, I think if the Spurs don't offer him this max contract extension this summer, which in 5 years is going to be worth $49 million,
on the books for Kawhi. I think if they don't offer him that, he becomes an unrestricted free agent next year, the year following, and I think New York has got a chance at picking up Kawhi.
That's weird for me. I don't know if I can picture him in the blue and orange. Yeah. What do you think?
I don't think James.
This might be a ploy for the Jordan thing. He wants a better shoe deal. New York might be a better market for him. Maybe he wants a revamp. I don't know. I can't tell you. I'm not an insider, but the perception so far, in my mind, goes as follows. Kawhi doesn't know what he wants.
Yes, that seems very clear.
He's just caught in the middle. Maybe he wants to leave. Maybe he wants to stay.
Some reason he doesn't trust the Spurs or the medical staff at this point. He's in New York rehabbing at the moment.
And Spurs have never had these issues before, so I don't know how to react to them because we haven't seen them react to them. So until this summer comes, I'm going to reserve my judgment. As far as making a comment on it now, I think Porzingis and Kawhi as a tandem could be.
That'd be fun.
That'd be nice.
That'd be fun. Someone else to play defense on that next team.
That's funny.
Two people.
You don't think Ntilikina is doing his job?
Yeah, no,
it might be a good spot for him.
Yeah,
it's a legacy for sure. You create your own legacy. You're not behind the Spurs banner of whatever.
Yeah,
right.
Because it's not, the spotlight is not on him. Unfortunately, LaMarcus takes away some of that. Like, it's Kawhi's team. Come on, Kawhi.
Yeah.
Stay in this. As much as I hate to say this because I'm Spurs bias here.
Yeah, I get it.
I want him to stay for himself because I think he might be able to win another chip in that system before Pop retires.
Yeah.
I want them to win a championship together.
He's got a little window in there.
I'll just say this to close it off. Like, if you think a bunch of like tired San Antonio beat reporters asking questions about your leg is a bit too much, like you're not gonna cut it in New York where they literally like make fun of you the second you arrive. Like, yeah.
Yeah, Melo was famous for, I guess, dodging those, but he was good at those press conferences.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen, and that's the beauty of it all, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we love the NBA, because there's so much drama all the time. Mm-hmm. And the last team we expected it from was the Spurs.
Yeah.
And they've given so much this year.
It's great.
It's, yeah.
Usually it's my Dallas. So I'm just happy the spot is, like, not on us all the time. Yeah. Even though, like, we were on the wrong end of a scandal this year.
Yeah, it's been a weird one. That might be our next topic on what's weirder. Let's go into our next segment here.
Yeah, I think in this day and age, there's a lot to be said about resting players and sort of keeping their legs for the playoffs. It gets a lot of rap from former players and some analysts because people, like, you don't think, like, you got to play the whole season. But I think it comes from this, like, this is just my opinion. I think it comes from a weird place where we glamorize, like, hard work to the point of exhaustion. But that's just me. I don't know.
What do you guys think? Working hard means you have to stay in the gym longer than everybody else.
Yeah.
Is that the definition of hard work now in the NBA? Whether it be coaches or whether it be players. I mean, I'm posing it as a question.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's like even in this sort of social media thing, we sort of touched on it in a little bit, like this, you got to create, even if you aren't working hard, you got to create the perception that you're working hard, you know? Like, guys, like, I think we were talking about this on personally between you and I, that just like guys posting that they're working out and that they're coming back, and it's like, just come back.
That's the words taken out of my mouth. It is ridiculous how much social media has played a part in all of this. Is that players need to reach out to their fans in some weird way and tell them that, hey, I'm coming back. Like, I mean, the fans are excited, obviously. People watch those clips and go like, well, he's back, great, I'm gonna go to the game now, or blah blah blah. Whatever the player's target audience is, I just don't think it's very necessary. Backing your point up is that working hard needs to be shown now. Otherwise, you're not working hard.
Yeah,
which I think goes against everything Kobe Bryant believed in. Is like, you know, they were players back in the day that were working equally or maybe harder. Like Kevin Garnett has been known to be working harder than anybody else.
Yeah.
Like these guys literally put their bodies on their line every practice, every shooting session, every game. And it wasn't advertised. It wasn't, you know, on social media all the time, but these players still did it. So the commitment it takes doesn't come from social media. It comes from, like, you know, what you really want to do with your time.
Yeah.
I mean, DeMar DeRozan has been famously known for shooting shots on New Year's Eve. And in my head, honestly, I could give two shits about – no, I mean, sorry for the language. I don't think I've ever cursed on this pod
before. I don't think we have, but it's whatever.
I don't think I've ever given two shits about, like, DeMar DeRozan taking, like, New Year's Eve shots. I don't care. Yeah. Just come and perform. I mean, no offense to DeMar. I'm using him as an example. I'm saying other players do it too.
Yeah.
It's a lot of like, oh, he took 300 extra shots. He's going to be better this year.
But the thing is, like, for I'm just going to defend DeMar in this situation. A lot of his stories, like, he wasn't the one telling people, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like the Hoodie Mello situation, right? Like,
oh, he killed that meme or whatever it was. Well, he wore it everywhere.
Yeah. like it wasn't it. Yeah, like we had to find that out through reporters, whereas like the Mello one, I think, was posted by him. Like the original Hoodie Mello video was him working out in New York, and it was
I 100% yeah. agree. I'm not – it's not a knock on DeMar. Yeah. I just use him as an example because, you know, recently we discussed off air was Jimmy Butler and how he posted his video of him coming back. And I thought it was – and you agreed that it was completely ridiculous – for him to do that because, you know, if the team announced that you're coming back, that's all I really care about.
Yeah.
And then whether it be on minutes restriction or whether you're playing 10 minutes or 20 minutes, that's entirely up to you. Like, I have nothing to do with that. And me seeing a workout video of you shooting, like, what, pull-up jumpers is not yeah. really going to help anything.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, sometimes these old retired players that have these videos of, like, them just like, working out in the gym and just, like, dribbling. I'm like, making you're not a coming back.
Making a return, yeah.
Like, it was a Baron Davis is famous for doing that. And yeah. all these players. I'm like, Nate Robinson did it recently because he's been trying to get on a roster. Not a broadcaster in any way. So, again, I'm biased, but I will also say that we know that these NBA players are working hard. We pay them a lot of money yeah. to do the job they do. Mm-hmm. Millions of dollars. You better be working hard. Like, yeah. you better not be eating Cheetos on your couch. Like, I'm expecting you to work hard.
Or playing PUBG late yeah. night into...
Hey, they can do whatever they want
yeah.
if they're facing the Hawks.
yeah, and then he put up a crazy stat.
How are we always in the trash in the Hawks?
no, actually, I defended the Hawks last time. I praised on Torian Prince. And
you did.
Torian Prince
I was
real.
The one who said that they did not have a lot of problems.
Yeah. So...
It goes the same for most... people on your social media. I mean, if you're posting that you're at the gym all the time, you're probably really not.
I don't even like those inspirational posts that people post. All right, I know it's a hot take, but I'm like, other people working out just doesn't do anything for
me. No, I'm not.
I'm never like motivated to get up and go somewhere.
I kind of get more mad. I'm kind of like, no, like
I feel worse about myself.
Yeah, let me eat more chips.
It doesn't motivate me in any way. Thanks, Jimmy Butler.
Yeah,
you got a great bod. Thank you. Yeah, I've just been hating on Minnesota for a while.
Well, I, you know me, I'm also a confirmed non-believer.
So, we'll close it on this point. Do you think Thibodeau is a stubborn coach?
I just think he's a stubborn person in general. Like, I mentioned, you know, off air that we were talking about Tibbs, how he never leaves the gym. He's... Jimmy Butler was quoted as saying, you know, like, I tried to beat Tibbs there, and it turns out he just never left.
Okay.
And he does not have a wife or kids. Plays his guys upwards of 40-plus minutes a game. I mean, I understand you working really hard, Tibbs, but, I mean, give Cat a break.
But I think it's stubborn, and I think it's outdated. You know what I mean? Like increasingly we're becoming aware how much this sport, like, as enjoyable as it is for us, it eats them alive. Like, Tyronn Lue had to take a step back because he's getting, like, heart complications or something.
Steve Clifford took time off as well.
Oh, yeah, his was actual heart complications. And...
Tyronn Lue is very stress. It's a stress-related.
It's anxiety attacks for all these guys.
Yeah.
Kevin Love.
Yeah, and I think it speaks to, like, a certain closed-mindedness that you don't think there's a way to get the most out of your players without driving them to nothing. You know what I mean?
Oh, I cannot agree more. Recently, I read a piece on Jason Kidd coming out and talking about, you know, his firing and
what went down in
Milwaukee, what he thought went down in Milwaukee. And from his perspective, you know, in the interview, he was very candid. You know, he was like, should I have smiled more? I was under so much pressure from day one. You're under so much pressure. You're scrutinized so much for every defensive scheme or, you know, every play, even though he made some questionable decisions a lot of times. Mm-hmm. A coach should be allowed to coach. And because of the era we live in, these guys don't have the proper opportunities to, you know, showcase whatever plan they have. It's so much pressure for your job security now is that, you know, you can be fired anytime. Even though Jason Kidd is famous for, you know, falling out of love of players, you know, mid-season.
Like, and he wanted teams.
Exactly. And he's in the wrong in a lot of places, but I also kind of felt sympathy after reading the piece because he was honest about what coaching really is. And it's in a little sample, it's all the pressure coming down from the entire league, your own management, your ownership. It's a lot of pressure. I mean, you see the Warriors, you see all these top teams taking the torch and running away with it. Mm-hmm. So much pressure just goes into, like, how can we beat a Goliath? How can we beat this mammoth team that's pretty much, like, ruling the league? Yeah. So everyone has this, like, constant anxiety of, like, hey, we want to do better. We have a player like Giannis, in Jason Kidd's case, who he was like, I have to develop him. He's a one of a kind. And, you know, in the article, he says things like, it's not easy coaching a player like that. Even though it was fun and he was very coachable, it's not easy to have that kind of pressure. Because you're the eighth seed, you're the seventh seed with a player who has this much potential, who's this good now,
is
a lot of pressure on the coach. So I'm going to end this by saying that I sympathize with the coaches a lot. Sometimes we forget how hard their jobs are.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think Thibodeau's job is, you know, it should be under some sort of scrutiny, I believe. And not this summer, but maybe next summer, because he's not adhering to any of the science that's coming out. Like, you should not be playing players this much.
Yeah.
Even though they get paid millions and millions of dollars to do it. And on the other side, people are going to come out and say, well, the player's getting $25 million a year. Like, I don't feel bad for him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I want to see these players play for a long period of time. I don't want their careers to be cut short like Derrick Rose. I mean, I like the product that's out there right now.
Yeah.
I don't want Karl Anthony Towns' careers to be over by 32. Yeah. I don't want that. I don't think anybody wants that.
No?
Nope.
So I'm gonna end this rant, semi-rant, by just saying that I'm not a big fan of him overworking his players. Even though I understand coaching can be a hard job and, you know, you have to make tough decisions sometimes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
All right. So that'll be everything for this week's episode of Back to the Basket. Just remember, we may have our back to the basket, but we'll never turn our back on our fans. Feel free to find the podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, or Google Play. And feel free to follow us on Twitter and send us any of your questions, any at all. All right. See you next week.